Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Ali Marano. We'll start off at St Mary's, where the big news, Manchester City don't win a game.
What?
Shock. Southampton would take the lead earlier in this match. Brilliant goal by Walker Peters to make it 1-0. City didn't really create too much. Raheem Sterling with the best chance in the first half, kind of whiffed on it. Second half would see City very much get back into the game. Laporte with the header to make it 1-1. Kevin De Bruyne hit the post and then felt he should have had a penalty. Ali, what did you think?
100% a penalty.
Wasn't given though. And then moments after that, Armstrong with a high challenge on Laporte. Only a yellow was given.
100% a red card.
In the end, though, it finishes Southampton 1, Manchester City 1, meaning that City's 12-win streak is over, way off of their best under Pep Guardiola, which was 18 back in 2017. Let's welcome in, shall we? Don Hutchinson's with us, as is Stevie Nicol and Shaka Hislop. Any cause for concern if you're a City fan here, Stevie?
No. Not really. The only reason City didn't win the game is because they couldn't muster enough chances and somebody to finish one off. Yes, Sterling had a chance, but he's not a natural finisher. And the only problem that this City team has is it doesn't have a natural finisher. So, yes, they dominated, no surprise. But another day... And there's not been too many, but another day where if they had a recognised striker, they would have got the 3 points.
I think Pep would love you to say that to him, Stevie. I think that would go down very well, considering his reaction in the past when he's been asked about that in press conferences. Overall, Southampton seem to have City's number, Don.
I mean, they had to do a lot of defending, Dan, to be honest. I think City had close to 30 shots, but they only made the keeper work, I think, 4 times. So... yeah, I mean, they played well enough to win the game. They weren't at full tilt, but you've got to credit Southampton, the work that they've done in the midfield, and especially the back line. Salisu, who got man of the match, was putting his body on the line. He was taking shots in the face. A couple of little risky decisions where there might have been a penalty call, and it looked like a penalty to me. I think I lean towards Ali on the penalty claim. But I suppose they deserved their fortune, Southampton. They grafted, they worked hard, they put their body on the line, and they took a valuable point off City.
Let's take a look then at the title odds, shall we? Because if Liverpool win both of their games in hand, it's only 6 points. What's that? Nothing. Nothing. 6 points would be the difference between them and Manchester City at the top of the table. The bookies still have City 12-1 on. But Shaka, you were saying before we started that your money's right on Liverpool.
yeah, okay. I'll put your money in Liverpool if you want me to. Listen, this is still City's title to lose, of course. And we are kind of hoping for a title race on the back of City dropping 2 points against what I thought was a very good Southampton display. Listen, if you're City, it is what it is. You drop 2 points, but that's 2 points in the last 13 games. That's no reason to panic, no reason for the bookies to change anything. It gives Liverpool a little bit of optimism, but that's about it.
Are we saying there's a chance, Stevie?
I'll tell you what, there's a chance, but it's the slimmest of slim possibilities. And again, it's either some crazy pandemic outbreak in City, or somehow they just keep annihilating teams and can't score. I mean, it's got to be one of those two things. Otherwise, no. No.
Let's do it. Percentage, Don.
Oh, no.
Well, it's larger than slim.
Oh.
And I'm hoping that, obviously, Liverpool win their 2 games in hand and beat Man City and claw it all the way back to 3. So I think it's still on. I would say it's a 30% chance of the Liverpool title.
Wow, 30% chance of Liverpool catching City at the top. Look at Stevie's face.
Why not? We've got to play City in a few weeks' time. They can get a three.
I'll tell you why, Don. Because Liverpool, game after game, give chances to the opposition. City don't do that. They gave up one today and they lost a goal.
But
Stevie, that's what they do.
Liverpool have got two games in hand.
So that means Liverpool have got to win every single game between now and the end of the season, and they've got to lose three.
Man City will drop points like they did today. Stevie, would it stun you? Would it stun you if Liverpool beat Man City? It wouldn't stun you, would it? So therefore, it's back to three if they win their games in hand.
It would surprise me if City lose three games between now and the end of the season, and it would surprise me if Liverpool go unbeaten between now and the end of the season.
You didn't answer the question.
That's what would
surprise
me.
You didn't answer the question, Stevie.
Yeah, I'd be shocked.
If Liverpool beat City? If Liverpool beat Man City in a one-off game, you'd be shocked.
Dan, do us a favour. Make sure you copy this episode, will you?
I'll put it on some VHS tape. Don't worry.
I'll make sure I record it, Stevie. 5 weeks, not the end of the season. 5 weeks when they're even further ahead.
Shaq is like when you're at a mate's house and the wife and the husband are arguing and you don't really know where to look or what to do.
I'm just leaving it to the two of them. Listen, I don't know what to make of it. Listen, I understand that, Don's optimism, but to Stevie's point, City just dropped two points in out of the last 39, and now we're going to expect them to drop six in the next 17 games or 18 games, whatever it is left. I just don't see it happening. The percentages of that happening is a whole lot less than 30. Let me just put it that way.
30%, Ali, where do you stand on that?
Look, I am never going to agree with percentages that are put forth by Don. So just by default, I'm going lower than 30%.
Meanwhile, Laporta took to Twitter to show what happened to his leg from the Armstrong Challenge.
That'll do it.
That's not that bad, is it?
What?
That's nothing. Nothing. Don, red card or no?
No, red card. It looks bad. I mean, it looks bad when you freeze frame how high Stuart Armstrong was on Laporte. But when you see it, he was a fraction away from taking the ball. Like a fraction. I think the referee got that right.
He was a fraction away from taking something.
Stevie, red for
yellow
you.
Yellow card.
Oh, it's a red card. What's Don talking about? He caught him in the thigh with his studs, with his foot straight up like that.
Where's the evidence?
How is it not a red? Can you please tell me? Seriously.
Shaka, you have the deciding vote.
Listen here, that's a red card. That's a little bit more than a love tap back in our day, but in today's football, that's a red card all day, every day.
There's a bit of a pattern emerging today for some reason.
Meanwhile, elsewhere today, Manchester United moved up into the top four after a 1-0 victory against West Ham. They left it late in this one. Marcus Rashford scoring the winner to give them all 3 points and lift them up into the top four. Don, overall, this is much better, wasn't it, from United?
It was, in patches. I mean, Ronaldo, I thought, was poor today. My takeaway from this is, if you're Ralf Rangnick, get Cavani on the pitch as much as possible. And he went for it in the end. Their bench was stronger. He had Martial, Rashford, Ronaldo, Cavani, Bruno Fernandes all on the pitch. I mean, Aaron Cresswell, top of the screen. Don't be having your hand up asking for offside. Just make sure you mark Marcus Rashford behind. I thought, you know, Ralf Rangnick's come under a little bit of scrutiny of late. He's come under a little bit of pressure. But there was a little chess match going on between himself and David Moyes. And it started when he put Rashford on up against Sofal. And then David Moyes reacted by putting Ryan Fredericks on, who's absolutely rapid up against Marcus Rashford. He then went on the opposite side and played on Cresswell. And then he got the winner at the far post. So all in all, you've got to credit Man United. But it was a game where I thought West Ham were a little bit afraid with 20 minutes to go to try and win the game, fearing they might lose it.
Stevie, did we see an improvement today from United?
I'm not so sure. I mean, I tell you what we did see. We saw a team that was together and from the first to the last whistle were at it and ran and gave everything they had. That's probably been the biggest thing that we've spoken about recently is this team a unit? I think you can definitely say today they were. I don't think you can turn around and say anything about the way they played. I mean, this game for me was going back in time. This was like 30 years ago when teams were tight, there was nothing much between them, nobody could control the ball or control the play, and they were both just at it. And I think at the end of the day, West Ham ran out of steam, number one. But number two, I mean, we're talking about Moyes bringing on Fredericks. Well, guess what? When you've got people like Cavani, Rashford and Martial, then that's going to make a difference. Yeah. And that's exactly what the difference was for me. I don't think particularly it was they played great. They just outlasted West Ham, who I thought were a little bit naive, a bit kind of honest, you know, just kept at it and didn't close the game out.
Yeah, that was striking today, wasn't it, Shagger, who United could bring off the bench in contrast to the West Ham.
Yeah, it is. And in fairness to United, I don't think this is a United of old or United that we'd expect, but I thought compared to how they've been so far this season, particularly of late, this was a really good performance from Manchester United. From West Ham's perspective, given some of the poor results, you kind of understand going to Old Trafford and hoping to get a point. I thought Man U were deserving of all three. It's good that Ranieri can call on the players that he can. That's part of being at a club like Manchester United, how you can change things up. And they got what they fully deserved. Listen, the truth is, United, even when they've gotten points this season, have been heavily reliant on David De Gea, and it just didn't feel that way today. I thought they were in control, and as I say, fully deserving.
Don's Galacticos, by the way.
There you go. See? Told you, Ali.
According to the bookies, though, it is still Spurs who are favourites to finish in the top four ahead of United and Arsenal. Do you agree, Don?
I think so, Dan, but without being convincing, and I think it's more so the fact that they've got four games in hand. I think the games in hand that them and Arsenal got, you're surmising that they're going to win them games and get comfortably into the top four, but I've not been impressed with Tottenham. I think Son's a big miss. If you take Harry Kane out of that side, if he gets a little injury and he's missing, I think they're going to struggle. There's not real creativity in the Tottenham midfield. He's struggling for any sort of balance. Royale's not having a good time. At right wing back, Reguilon's a little bit better, but Skip, Højbjerg, Winks in midfield don't create too many chances for Harry Kane. So they are momentum.
Didn't you just say you agreed that Spurs are the favourites to finish in the top four, though?
Well, only because they've got four games in hand. So
they've got three games in hand over United.
Yeah, well, you're sort of surmising they're going to stick some points together. But
well, you're
not.
You're saying they're going to pick up injuries and they're going to fail.
No, the table at the moment's a little bit skew-whiff. You're trying to analyse who's the best team, but what you're doing is you're looking at the points and you've got no idea whether Tottenham can win them games or Arsenal can win them games. So I don't think you can say at the moment there's any clear favourites. I think the one that's been knocked back massively was West Ham today. Yeah. If they had beat Man United today, they'd have been 5 points ahead of Man U. So West Ham all of a sudden are dropping out the top four. Arsenal have gone down to seventh, but they've got three games in hand on West Ham. So it's all a little bit, where's your money?
What do you surmise, Stevie?
I think I'm going to... We spoke about this the other day, I think, and I went with Spurs, and I'm going to stay there. You know, they have got the games in hand. And, you know, we can say, well, if this happens and if that happens, the truth is, they're going to pick points up because they're always in games. Conte always has them at it. And if Harry Kane, who eventually has to start scoring more regularly, if that happens, when it happens, because it will, then they'll take enough points, I think, because Conte will not lose as many goals as previous managers.
Don mentioned Ronaldo was quiet in this game. However, he did have a penalty shout in the first half. What did you think of this, Stevie?
I think it's a penalty kick.
Everybody.
That's not a penalty.
I guess. I'll tell you what. This has got 3-1 written all over it again.
Let me tell you something, Stevie. That's not a penalty.
When you come from behind the player, and to get the ball, the only way you're going to get the ball is to go through him. So you can't do that. You put both arms around his waist, and you bump him. Now, don't give me this. claptrap nonsense about it wasn't much of a bump. Let me tell you something. When you're defending, and when the pace of the ball and the play's going as quickly, all it takes is a little nudge to put the opposition off.
So
none of this nonsense about it was only a little touch. Listen, if you bump somebody from the back when the ball's coming in the 6-yard box, it's a penalty kick. And particularly when you see it again, I can understand the referee not giving it because things happen quickly, and I wasn't sure myself. But the fact that you get a chance to go look at a replay or somebody has a chance to look at it and say that that's not a foul.
Because so you bumping. Can't argue. So take your words there, Stevie.
Let me put this clear. Can I make this easy for you, Don? This is a yes or a no. Can I make it an easy answer? Did Kurtzuma bang into the back of Ronaldo? That's a yes or no answer.
No, he didn't bang into the back of him, no. No, to use your words.
So he didn't make contact with him?
You said he bumped him. So there's a difference between bumping someone and banging someone.
Oh, here we go.
Otherwise, we've seen 1,000 free kicks a game. Bumping people in midfield and bumping people here and bumping people there. Free kick.
Right, 1-1. Shaka, bump or bang. Bump or bang, Shaka.
Okay, let me put it this way. If this were Columbus Crew against the New England Revolution, and that was Ali going down on a challenge from Parkhurst, and the ref gave a penalty, Stevie would be getting fined from MLS right about now. There is no way Stevie would see that happen to his team and interpret that as a penalty. I don't think it was a penalty.
Thank you, Shaka.
I'm with Don on this.
Well, again, Shaka, did Kurtzuma go into the back of Ronaldo?
I think Ronaldo was looking for that contact.
Oh, sorry. Did he hit him or not?
Lucky Steve.
If he hits him, it's a foul.
Here we go. Right, Ali?
Well, the fact that Shaka brought up the glory days, I have to say, 100% a penalty.
Oh, my.
The glory days, Ali. The glory days.
So soft.
Stevie would be getting fined right now.
Oh, man.
What do you mean that's a penalty, ref?
Look at Stevie nodding as if he's just won a court case.
A bump is now a foul. A bump is a foul.
Hey, if Moreno had got decapitated in the penalty box, I'd still have said it wasn't a penalty. That argument doesn't
hold
anymore.
The Premier League continues on Sunday in Tottenham in that quest to catch United.
Decapitated?
That game at Stamford Bridge. Don is going for an exciting goalless draw.
Oh, thank you.
Stevie also going for a draw, 1-1. Shaka, meanwhile, going for a Chelsea 2-0 win. We'll, of course, be discussing that game, plus Real Madrid and Barca in action as well. We'll be reflecting that on the next edition of ESPN FC. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. An extraordinary game in Madrid in La Liga on Saturday. Atleti taking on Valencia. Valencia would be 2-0 up at the break in complete control of things. Atleti got one back on the hour mark. Still looked like that wouldn't be enough. But then going into the 90th minute, Atleti get two late goals to see them win the game by 3-2 and solidify their place in fourth in La Liga. 3 points clear of Real Sociedad Valencia all the way back now in ninth. Let's welcome in, shall we? Former Atleti midfielder Luis Garcia is with us. Luis, at halftime, I don't think anybody saw this coming.
Not that much. We were expecting a reaction from this Atletico Madrid side because we know the background, we know the talent of the players, the creativity that they can have up front, but definitely not what we saw. It's a game of two halves, and we saw an Atletico Madrid that wanted to win this game, that wanted to get something from this match. But definitely, I think that I'm going to give a lot more credit to what Bordalás have done it, because in the second half, they sit back at the back. They had a plan that maybe sitting at the back, waiting for Atletico Madrid to be more open and get them in the counter-attack with Guedes and Musa and their speed, but definitely not the way that they saw this game coming. Atletico Madrid with an outstanding Carrasco on the left side, playing all over the place with a lot of freedom, a lot of creativity, and definitely with those changes that Simeone have done in the second half with Carrasco and Correa doing a great job up front, and Cunha finalizing the chance that they have. Fantastic second half from this Atletico Madrid, that much more with the heart than with the brain, trying to bring that experience, that strength that they had during many years, that heart to this score at the end. A great result that definitely have much more that to say of this result that what they can brought on the field. I think that is a great result for this Atletico Madrid that can start believing on being the top four at the end of the season.
Is this the turning point?
Well, a locker room is a fickle place. It's a very flaky place, and you have to nurture it and take care of it. And this locker room looked to me at halftime like it was falling apart.
Sure.
But maybe this is this sort of 45 minutes that brings it all back together. What you see from Atletico Madrid is that there are frailties and vulnerabilities that are clear all over the place. But we saw in the second half that reaction, that heart, that passion. We also saw from Diego Simeone that it's not only about yelling and screaming, it's about making the changes when you need to make them, making the adjustments that you need to make as a manager in order to change a game. And he did that. Sends Yanni Carrasco to the left-hand side, puts Angel Correa in, which I don't understand why Angel Correa doesn't start regularly for this team, because they're a different group when he's on the field. When Yanni Carrasco plays down the left, they're far more effective. Went to a back three. All those things work, and then you get a result that you were not expecting at halftime. So to your question, Dan, I would say if there was ever a performance in the second 45 minutes that could potentially bring a group together and say, this is who we are, this is what we're capable of, this is exactly it. If this is what you needed from Atletico Madrid, they got the response they wanted in the second half, perhaps this is the start of good things to come.
Luis, we talked pre-game about what Diego Simeone wants to do, needs to do, how he gets the best out of João Felix. He comes off, Atleti are much better.
Yeah, definitely it was, but I don't think that is because of João Felix getting out of the field. I think it's to put the players in the right position. We've seen Yanni Carrasco with a lot more freedom. We have seen him for many games playing as at the fifth on a back five line of defensive, where he has to do so much runs. When you have a player like him who can beat players for fun, who can enjoy when he's at the front, we can create so many good chances for Atletico Madrid, why having him defending so much? So at the end, when you have Correa, that is a creative player who can be also very difficult to mark when he's up front, why don't play him? So at the end, it's not about João Felix being on the field or out of the field. It's about putting the right players in the right positions. When you are afraid to have a team full of creative players who can give you so many good things up front, why play so conservative at the back? Why do you bring so many players into the defensive side and try to play that the same way that you've been playing for 10 years? Because of results. Yeah, that's fine. But when you have so much up front, go ahead, bring them all up front and try to be creative. At the end, we've seen a team of Atletico Madrid playing with Cunha, Luis Suarez, Carrasco, Correa. Four or five players up front that can be decisive any single second when they are on the field. So why to be afraid of playing with all those players? So, yeah, we'll see what happened from now on this Atletico Madrid side. But definitely the change that we've seen in the second half is the one that we want to see this Atletico Madrid playing from the now until the end of the season.
Before the late drama, of course, Luis, in the first half, we saw Valencia very much in control. And it was the young US international, Yunus Musa, who opened the scoring. It's been a tough season for him, played out of position for a lot of it, but took his goal well here.
It was fantastic to see him playing on the that left side. This moment of one touch to touch, knowing what he has to do, the speed that he's got on the field is just fantastic. You know that he can create so many good things up front for this Valencia side. He plays many games on the right side. Also today we've seen him a few moments in the middle. But when he is close to the box, he's very dangerous. A lot of speed, a lot of power, and that moment of creation from one touch to touch and finalizing the game. The play in one goal, it was just fantastic. So a very important player in the future for Valencia. Let's see if Bordalás can manage to put it in the right position, because for the U.S. men national team, it's going to be a key to the qualification for the World Cup 2022.
Luis Garcia, as always, thank you very much.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Borussia Dortmund beat Hoffenheim by 3-2 to close the gap on Bayern at the top of the table to 3 points. However, concern for Dortmund, Erling Haaland coming off after 16 minutes. Meanwhile, for them, all eyes will be on Bayern Munich's clash on Sunday as Bayern looking to re-establish that 6-point lead at the top of the table. Let's welcome, shall we, Jan Arge Fjortoft to the show. Jan, should we start with Erling Haaland? How is he?
Well, first of all, it was a great football game. I'm sure that you would have loved to be there for coaching-wise. We can talk about that. It was a fantastic football game. But yes, you saw the two incidents. First, Erling went down with a thing in his knee. I thought that was the serious thing. And then he managed to come onto the pitch again and played on. And as you saw, there was a groin thing. He went straight into the dressing room after he was taken off, got treatment of that. And then he went out again, sitting on a bench, watching the last minutes of the game. From a very reliable source, the situation is okay. This is nothing serious. And as it seems now, it was just a scare and things will move on slowly and good for Dortmund and Erling Haaland.
Yeah, and something's banging against your microphone. Just sort that out here, obviously. And you're in a
I would hold it like this.
There you are. Okay. Beautiful. Yeah, very good. Professional. overall, though, Jan, it's never easy. I think of all the teams that we cover, being a Borussia Dortmund supporter, because they make you sweat even when they win.
They do. And this was a typical week of Dortmund. I mean, they played 3 games. They played against Freiburg, who was in a Champions League position, and they play Hoffenheim away now in a Champions League position. They're winning both games. But then in the week, they'll get knocked out by St. Pauli, a big, big chance for them to win a trophy after Bayern is knocked out of that competition. But today, you have to give a compliment to Sebastian Hoeneß and his Hoffenheim. They played fantastic football. They kind of played out from the back. They kept the ball, created chances at halftime. They had 3 or 4 chances. They hit the bar once. They hit the post once. But you have to give it to Dortmund. They are winning those games. I asked Rose, the trainer, the coach, after the game, if he gets frustrated with this two-faced kind of Dortmund team. And he said, yes. He was quite honest about that. Mm. Because in the games, not only this week, 2 wins and 1 loss. But during the game as well, there are periods of the game, they are totally away. Then they do the 1-0 after, I guess it was 6 minutes, a fantastic play between Bellingham, Marlon. Marlon today was involved in all 3 goals, which was good for him. So this is a team, they are challenges to Bayern. They are 3 points after them now, before they're Hertha Bayern tomorrow. But this Dortmund team, you never know which team will come out. Is it the bad one or the good one? But in a half, it's both. It's amazing to look at them, because after Bayern being one of the favourites to win the Champions League, one of the best teams in the world, they're still just 3 points after them with one game more.
Thank you very much, Jan. Stay with us, because you'll be joining us for extra time a little later on. Just a reminder, Bundesliga continues on Sunday. Leipzig taking on Wolfsburg. That's at 9:30 Eastern. And then join me in the studio with Shaka. Oh. Hertha Berlin against Bayern Munich. Coverage of that game starts at 11 a.m. Eastern. Shaka's just gone, what?
You say what?
What?
I'm coming into work.
I was at home. Those games back-to-back on ESPN+. Meanwhile, Saturday in Serie A, Lazio 0, Atalanta 0. It's the same scoreline between Genoa and Udinese. And it looked like Inter against Venezia would finish 1-1. But Edin Dzeko with a late goal to give Inter all 3 points. A huge victory for them, especially considering it's, of course, AC Milan against Juventus on Sunday. Inter, as it stands, 5 points clear at the top of the table.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Villarreal then move up to sixth in the table, 4 points adrift of Atletico Madrid, who was, of course, as we mentioned at the start of the show, came from behind to beat Valencia by 3-2. Those 2 goals coming late in the game, and it was all Valencia early on, including this from Yunus Musa.
It's good cut to the inside by Yunus Musa, creating space for himself. Coque late to help on the inside, but Yunus Musa does so very well in setting up his shot, finding that near post. Beautiful goal from Yunus Musa, but not enough for Valencia.
Now in the end, the US international on the losing side, and he caught up with Sid Lowe after the game.
Yunus, I kind of feel like this is a stupid question, but can you kind of tell us what goes through your mind, how you feel emotionally when a game like that happens, when you lose a game that it looks like you've got in hand in that manner?
Yeah, going from 3 points to 1-0, coming away with nothing after all the work we've done, it hurts, you know, and we have to use that feeling to come back better, stronger and improve from our mistakes so that it doesn't happen again.
First off was very, very good indeed. Yeah. You seemed very much in control. It's true that you scored from the two really clear chances you had, but you certainly carried the weight of the game. What changed from that first half to the second?
Yeah, we Atletico brought the game to us, and we stayed in our half, and we couldn't come out. And ultimately, if you don't come out of your half, they keep pressing you. They're going to keep having chances and creating dangerous opportunities, you know. And I think that was the error from us. Like we lacked getting out, you know, out of the press, playing the game in their half. And we were just back in our half, and they kept on going at us and going at us.
Is it all the more frustrating for you personally, considering, of course, you scored one of the goals in the first half, had a really, really good first half performance? I wonder if you feel kind of an extra sense of loss, because this was a game that you would have played a key part in the victory.
Yeah, it hurts. It hurts that we couldn't take the 3 points. That we were 2-0 up and we lost 3-2. Like that, the manner of losing this game, it hurts a lot. And as I said, we have to use that feeling to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Beyond the result today, personally, how did you feel? It was interesting to see you play a little bit more inside, a little bit closer to the forwards, more of a central position. We saw it in midweek, of course, where you actually played one of the middle three positions in midfield. Is that something that you can see yourself evolving into, coming away from the wing and playing more inside?
Yeah, I'm trying to learn the game better, you know. Any position the manager puts me, I'm trying to do my best. And if I can learn how to play better in midfield, I'll learn that. If he puts me wide, I'll learn how to play better there, and ultimately that'll help me grow.
Do you have a preference?
Yeah, I prefer playing in the middle. But wherever the manager puts me, I'm more than glad to help the team.
Obviously, right now it hurts, but it does feel like Valencia are finding their feet. It does feel like you're developing an identity. Obviously, you were close to a victory tonight, which would have put you just 1 point behind Atletico Madrid. Where do you feel the team is in terms of that development towards where you want to be? And in particular, what do you think the objectives are for this season? As I say, you were close to a Champions League place. Is that still a possibility as well?
Yeah, of course. We need to keep going at it. We're not going to lose hope. We're going to keep going. As you said, we're 4 points away. And the aim today was to obviously get closer and be 1 point away. and we couldn't do that. So, yeah, the season, there's still games in the season, but we have to learn from our mistakes quickly. And, yeah, starting from the next game, we have to make sure we get the 3 points.
Of course, Yunus Musa will feature for the US men's national team, who are taking on El Salvador as their quest to qualify to the World Cup continues on Thursday. That game live on ESPN2 at 7 p.m. Eastern. I imagine they will be talking about that on the latest edition of Football Americas. That, of course, drops on Monday here on ESPN+. So a dramatic comeback then for Atletico Madrid. 2-1 down going into the 90th minute. They turn it around and win by 3-2. Sid Lowe, of course, saw it all pitch side. Sid, I imagine your post-match chat with Diego Simeone was very different to the one that you were expecting to have at half-time with him.
I'm going to let you into a little secret as well here, Dan. Because you have to get to the area where you do the interviews, you leave the pitch area, the stadium area, a little bit early. So we heard the second goal and heard the third goal, but didn't see either of them inside the stadium. And so, yes, that completely changes the nature of what you think you're going to ask Diego Simeone. Of course, some of those questions are still valid. You still do ask about what's happened this season. Why did it take a result like this to maybe change the way things have been going for you? What did you need to do for this to be possible? But fundamentally, obviously, as you can imagine, the response post-game, and this is not just from Simeone, but from the players as well, was of a kind of an enormous kind of outpouring of emotion, a sense of this being cathartic. It's very noticeable that all of the players came up the tunnel towards where we were post-game with no shirts, because, of course, they'd come and throw them into the stands. There was a real sense, I think, of a kind of a community and a sense of relief, and maybe a sense that actually, perhaps this season won't turn out so bad. Now, obviously, it's virtually impossible they win the league. In fact, let's face it, it's impossible they win the league. But maybe they can finish the season feeling like it's been worthwhile.
What's interesting, Sid, it could, of course, been so different. 2-0 down. And what was telling, that substitution of João Félix and then the collective whistles from around the stadium. And you thought, wow, you know, this could be a really turning point for Simeone, because we talked about how much support he had within the fan base. However, Félix comes on, Atletico Madrid score one, get those two late goals. Goals, and it just changes the rhetoric of the whole tie.
Absolutely, it does. And I think it's very, very interesting. One of the things that Diego Simeone said to us after the game, and I think it feeds into that. I don't want to read too much between the lines, but he talked about the changes, and he actually talked in depth about the kind of, if you like, the footballing element to this, not just the emotional element to this, the way that he changed, the reason that Felipe came on, because it gave him the speed to release other players further up the pitch. But he made a comment which I thought was very interesting, and he said, "Tonight I learnt which individuals can do the things that I want from this team, that can have that identity that I want from this team." And it was very interesting because, of course, what he's saying on the one hand is it's all about the collective identity. But on the other hand, he's very definitely saying there are individuals who can do that. And I don't want to read between the lines too much, because I don't want to make that about the João Félix substitution. But I wonder if that's one of the individuals that he's thinking of.
I have to say, Sid, when you said this is a really stupid question to Yunus Musa, I was hoping you're saying, yes, he was. Yes, it is. And you walked off. That'd be very good.
One day someone will do that.
I know. It'd be magnificent. By the way, it's like 45 degrees where Sid is. I don't know why he's pretending it's so cold. Sid Lowe in Madrid. As always, thank you very much.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though.
Oh.
It is a bumper extra time. Our producers just made everybody stay late, basically.
Bump and a bang.
That's it. A bump or a bang. We'll find out what extra time will be. Be sure to stay tuned. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Ali's here, yes. Here in the studio. And get ready for all these boxes. Here they come.
All right, here we go.
We've got... Da, 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 da.
Hey!
Steve Nicol, Trent Hetzel, John Hutchison, and Jan Arge Fjortoff. Stevie, I wanted to start with you because there's something new in your background that I saw when we were doing the show. What is it? What's in that green packet?
Does he even know?
Is it a top? I think it might be a Stevie Nicol.
Oh, somebody sent. I did, I. Somebody sent me them.
Let's have a look. Yes.
Oh.
Brilliant.
Oh,
hey. Is he stretching?
Can you bring the Liverpool one? What? No, actually, what's the Scotland one doing? Can you bring it closer to the camera, Stevie?
It's a sliding challenge.
Wow, look at that. Look at that action.
And the definition of his muscles.
That's very good.
Wow.
Beautiful, Stevie. meanwhile, should we discuss the photo that's been doing the rounds between Jan and Don? Jan, can you explain what is going on in this picture?
Okay.
Yes, I can explain it to you. This is a playoff semi-final in the championship. 1-1 first game at Bramall Lane, and we thought that we were out. It was. This is the big game going to Wembley if we went through. And we went there, and we went through. But at the end, there was an Argentinian guy who kind of trying to wind up Don Hutchinson.
Oh.
And there was some spitting around. And you can imagine, Don Hutchinson did everything to get 10-game suspension, miss Wembley, miss everything. But Jan Fjørtoft, the peacemaker from Norway, went out and saved him. And after the game,
yes.
I went over to him, to the Argentinian, and did a Norwegian dance to the Argentinian. Sky Sport filmed it all, and I was booed at Portman Road the rest of my career. But this is after the game. I've swapped the shirt with some Ipswich guy, and me and Don Hutchinson went into the dressing room. There, Howard Kendall was waiting, saying, "Well done, boys. We all go to Isle of Man to get pissed for 5 days."
Don, why does it look like you're crying?
Who?
You.
No, I'm just reminiscing on the story because...
No, not now.
I'm wiping the spit off my face.
Wow.
It was a player. It was an Argentinian player called Mauricio Tirico who played for Ipswich. And after the game, I went to shake his hand and he literally... done the horriblest spit right in my face and I was wiping it off, but Jan's right, I pulled my fist back to punch him in the face and Jan got hold of me, otherwise I would have got suspended. The weird thing was, if you fast forward about 6 years, I'm at West Ham, Alan Pardew then signs him and he walks into the dressing room and I look at him and he looks at me and we just sort of go, it's not the end of the world. Come on, let's have a hug.
Oh, that's nice, Don, isn't it?
Underreported is that Don has a very hairy belly.
It's quite a hairy belly, isn't it? Well, there we are. I'm glad you noticed that, Ali.
Well, I'm just... Right, hey, he jumped out in the picture, that's all.
That's ringing. Ali, do you think Atleti will reach top four?
Yes.
Came from behind, of course, today, beat Valencia.
Yes. I think this win, and they needed it, and in the manner in which it happened, I think will be critical to sort of bring in this group together once again, sort of a rallying point, if you will. They'll do just enough to get in the top four.
Shaka, who's going to win the Premier League first? Arsenal, Manchester United, or Newcastle?
Ooh. Oh, goodness. I'm going to go Manchester United. I listen, as much excitement as there's around Newcastle, there's a long road to Premier League glory. And similarly for Arsenal. So United get there by default.
Long and winding road.
Right, beautiful. Don't sing anymore, we can't afford the royalties, Jan. For Don, what would it take for Everton to be a top-tier club again? They spend a lot of money, but they're always mid-table or thereabouts. Is there something Newcastle should be wary about?
Well, I mean, first things first, I mean, appoint a proper manager. Don't be going for Cannavaro, who's got no CV whatsoever.
Oh, dear.
I've been championing Graham Potter all week. I think he's the man. I don't think he needs a big budget. I think he coaches players, he improves players. It's baby steps, though. I mean, at the moment, I mean, I watched Everton today and they were really, really average, really poor. So it's going to take quite a while for Everton to get back into European spots. But it's got to start with a manager, I'm afraid.
If you're Graham Potter, do you go though, Don?
Well, you would if you sell the club to him. If you're, you know, if you're Bill Kenwright or Farhad Moshiri and you say, listen, I'll give you $500 million like I've given the other six managers. We're going into a brand new stadium. This is Everton Football Club. No disrespect to Brighton whatsoever, but there's levels between Brighton and Everton. And you can sell it to him.
Don, percentage chance of Norwich making the great escape.
That is too tough. That's too tough.
Take a number between 0 and 100, Don. It's not that difficult.
Well, I know, but then I'll have to try it. If Dan's quite smart and I go something like 17, he's going to try and ask me to do the other three, isn't he? I've not got that in my locker.
Well, it's either they do it or not. It's not three options.
There's four horses.
Right.
I'm going to keep it simple and go 25%.
25% of them, just because you could just go 25, 25, 25, 25.
But Don, I love you, Don. Yeah. I know.
Very smart.
You go into a trap every time.
Thank you, Stevie.
You think there are four teams, then there is 25% each. That is no half percentage. You have to learn this. This is basic math. Don, I love you. I love your hairy belly. I know we love you all, but you have to learn that.
What? Wait, what's going on at Shaka's house? What's happening, Shaq?
Somebody just came in.
Who just came in?
Bursting through the door.
Oh my goodness, mate.
My daughter just come bursting through the door.
Oh dear, which one?
You know it's a madhouse. I live in a... It's a crazy place here.
Well, that's what you get for having all those children.
Well, I didn't think of that.
What did you think, Shaka?
No.
Look how excited you are.
No, Shaka.
25% apiece. Stevie, when you played at Liverpool and they were at their most dominant, what mid-table teams seem to always take points off you, like we have seen with Southampton and Manchester City this season?
Good question.
Southampton away.
At the Dell?
Southampton away always gave us a problem. I mean, to be fair, it was one of the worst places to get to back then. You're talking on a good day 5 hours, on a bad day maybe 6.5 with the traffic. It just depended. So, you know, you're travelling the day before a game. You basically spend the day on the bus. And then it's a tight pitch. It's obviously a cup final for them. They're up for it. The crowd was always good. It was always a good atmosphere. We just always struggled. Southampton away always was a problem.
Stevie, just out of interest...
But also, Stevie...
Here comes Jan.
No, I'm just saying, but also, Stevie, they also always have had a good team. Well, they had Kevin Keegan, they have Mick Mills, they have Mick Shannon. They always had some old, experienced player. I guess they would love to play against Liverpool, wouldn't they?
Yes. Yeah, they always had a decent team. Yeah, they were always... They were generally, at the time, usually a mid-table side who some days weren't very good and other days were really good. And you weren't quite sure which one you were going to play against. Again, because they were playing against us, then they always were at their best because, well, they had every reason to do their best.
Jan, what realistic target should Dortmund sign next summer?
I think they should start with a player like Adeyemi, who is playing for Salzburg. I think they more or less agreed with him. Maybe it's a too big step for him to go to Bayern Munich, but he looks like a decent player. So that is kind of the target. It's there about. This is got to be the players who not make the big interest of the biggest clubs, but that is typical Dortmund. And then Bayern will tell them you're just a development club and then they will win the trophy again.
Lovely. Shaka, what position has changed the most since the time you were playing? Keeper and fullback seem to have completely changed, for example.
Yeah, without question, the goalkeeping position. I think wing backs have been part of the game, and that continues to change and going roundabout, so to speak. But as far as goalkeepers go, I don't think any time in the game has seen goalkeepers playing the way that they are now, as sweepers, pass the ball as much as they do. That for me has been the biggest change.
I'll just say, as a shout out to center forwards, the fact that there are teams out there that play with a false nine or no forwards at all, and sometimes that players that are supposed to be center forwards, they don't play with their back to goal anymore. That hold up play, the art of hold up play is gone. It's no longer part of the game. So for a team like Manchester City, one of the best teams in the world, to not have an out and out striker says a lot about how that position has changed.
Final question. Stevie, who has the worst first touch? Shaka or Dan?
Oh, boy.
Oh,
oh boy.
Oh. What kind of question is that?
I'm going.
Whoa.
Whoa. Shaka. Shaka, I've got to tell you something.
What?
As bad as your touch is, it can be worse than that. Oh,
come on, mate.
Thank you. Never seen me play and never will. Never.
I've never, but I just can't imagine. No. I can't imagine your wee scrawny, skinny legs would be able to keep the ball up for long anyway.
He's a beautiful leg, Steve.
You'd be very quick.
No,
you look like a quick guy.
I'd be quick. Yeah. I could quick. I could beat Shaka in a 100-meter race. No.
What?
No.
What? No chance.
We have a race.
Make it happen.
No worries.
Yeah. You saw it here.
Make it happen.
It wouldn't even be close.
No chance.
Shaka would do his calf.
Well, this is fair. Yes, this is fair. This
there
is a good
is
point.
No chance.
He'd have to ask the phone to one of his children. Halfway through the race, he'd won something.
No chance.
The final question. Stevie, what is the chance of you replicating the model's pose nowadays?
Well, I need help to get down.
Show it to us again. It's brilliant.
To move
I love
them
it.
Around. And then I need help to get back up. Other than that, it'd be easy.
I think it'd be beautiful. I think Burley can help you go over to your house, get into an old Scotland kit, and put it together. That is it. We are done.
Not a chance.
Here we go.
We're in trouble. Drama.
Was Dan keeping up?
Stevie can't see what's going on.
Don't worry, Stevie. Doesn't last very long.
Many? Three.
Oh, no, this is all Shaka.
I'm going to say three.
Yeah. That is it. We are done. Thank you very much, everybody, as always, for being on
25%.
Oh. I just can see the belly now. All I can see is hairy belly.
It's a hairy belly.
Oh, I don't know.
And that was years ago. Imagine now.
Why are you crying, Don? I'm not crying now. ESPNFC is back tomorrow. Join us then.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.